red light infrared therapy for ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, a review by Court Johnson, December 10th, 2024. Starting out with Ari Witten in an overview of red light therapy is not a bad idea. Witten pioneered the use of red light therapy, and his 2018 tome on it, The Ultimate Guide to Red Light Therapy, How to Use Red and Near-Infrared Light Therapy for Anti-Aging, Fat Loss, Muscle Gain, Performance Enhancement, and Brain. While obviously dated, is still the best book on the subject. Witten, who has a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology with a specialization in nutrition and health, is a doctorate of chiropractic and a certified chiropractic wellness practitioner, told Dr. Osborne that he began investigating red light therapy, RLT, probably 10 years before it became popular. Witten was so far ahead of the curve that at one point, he went so far as to ask a company that sold marijuana grow lights to make red lights with a specific wavelength of 660 nanometers that turned on the mitochondria. Witten starts off his 2018 book with this, quote, "If there was a pill that was proven to have powerful anti-aging effects on our skin, combat neurological disease, fight depression and anxiety, increase fat loss, speed recovery from exercise, increase strength and endurance, fight hair loss, speed healing from injury, all with little or no side effects, it would be a billion-dollar blockbuster drug," end quote. Here's the crazy part. That drug exists. It's red and near-infrared light. Strong words indeed. Studies suggest that Witten was right, at least in part. While red and near-infrared light therapy is not a panacea, it does appear able to at least help with a wide variety of conditions. Red light therapy was shown back in 1967 to promote wound healing, and even today, it's best known for that. Studies since then have shown that it can increase mitochondrial activity and ATP production, increase blood flows, promote antioxidant activity, reduce inflammation, promote tissue repair via collagen and elastin production, connective tissues, desensitize nerve endings, and improve gut functioning. Ari Witten believes that RLT's hormetic stress component may be most helpful. RLT transiently stresses our cells by increasing mitochondrial production, causing an increase in free radicals, which in turn causes genes involved in antioxidant production to turn on. And so were genes involved in growth and repair, BDNF, brain, IGF-1, muscles and growth factors in virtually every other tissue, collagen, bones, thyroid, etc. Witten also thinks an emerging benefit from red light therapy involves its ability to greatly increase mitochondrial melatonin levels. We tend to think of melatonin in conjunction with the brain and sleep, but Witten reported that mitochondrial-derived melatonin is a strong antioxidant and mitochondrial protectant that is also produced in virtually all our cells. The amount of melatonin produced by our mitochondria dwarfs the amount produced by the brain. Red and infrared lights have been explored in a wide variety of disorders, including several associated with ME/CFS and fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, migraine, endometriosis, etc., to treat a wide variety of pain disorders, such as osteoarthritis, complex regional pain syndrome, neuropathic pain, inflammatory pain, temporomandibular disorder, post-surgical pain, Gulf War illness, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, stroke, and traumatic brain injury, hair loss, periodontal disease, and diabetes. Its ability to assist with nerve regeneration and reduce inflammation has led it to be used in spinal conditions including spinal injury, degenerative disc disease, herniated discs, etc. It doesn't appear to have been tested in joint hypermobility syndrome or craniocervical instability, but it's the ability to promote collagen and elastin production that suggests it might be helpful. the ability of red light infrared therapy to assist with glymphatic drainage, waste removal of the brain during NREM sleep is now being explored in a variety of brain diseases. A recent systematic review concluded that PBM, or photobiomodulation, is effective in reducing depression symptoms in patients. Fibromyalgia, Gulf War illness, and long COVID. A few studies have assessed photobiomodulation, red light, infrared therapy in the ME/CFS and fibromyalgia zone of illnesses. A review of photobiomodulation studies for chronic musculoskeletal disorders such as fibromyalgia, TMJ, osteoarthritis, low back pain, etc., concluded that photobiomodulation therapy offers a non-invasive, safe, drug-free, and side-effect-free method for pain relief of both acute and chronic musculoskeletal conditions, as well as fibromyalgia. One 42-person randomized controlled fibromyalgia study found significant pain reduction and improved quality of life, as well as reduced catastrophizing and fear of movement, or kinesiophobia. Decreased pain ratings were found in a study employing a duo laser LED infrared approach to tender points. A 21-person whole body immersion study using the Novo Thor device, see below, found clinically significant improvements at 6 months. A thematic analysis of 18 fibromyalgia patients suggested that in the right patients, red light therapy can produce impressive results. The study used the Novo Thor whole body photobiomodulation device, which delivers 16 megawatts per square centimeter at 660 nanometers and 850 nanometer wavelengths, which is nothing fancy or particularly high. 18 treatment sessions from 6 to 30 minutes were done. You can get the futuristic-looking Novo Thor clamshell device for a mere $3,000 to $5,000, but don't worry. While it's nice to have a device you can lie in, you can duplicate its effect using cheaper means. The results were good. Regarding pain, some participants reported dramatic results. Here are some quotes. "The pain's there, but it's not intense, so I've been able to do things that I haven't done in a long time." "Loads better. I can't remember the last time my pain was this low." "The other aches and pains in my shoulders, knees, and feet, that seems to melt away quite quickly." "It normally burned and could feel crawling sensations, and trigger points would be buzzy. This week, I can't say it's zero. I don't have it." "Walk, doing a lot of art, which has been easier with less pain. A lot of the pain has gone from my shoulders and neck completely. I just think, why isn't that hurting me? I went in there to the photobiomodulation device, and I thought, bloody hell, this is good. It was just excruciating. But like I say, this photobiomodulation therapy, I can't believe there's just no pain there, you know? Fatigue. Improvements were found in fatigue as well." One person described herself as no longer suffering any fatigue whatsoever. Participants described feeling less heavy, achy, lethargic, and fed up when waking up, but rather more alert and awake. "My brain is more awake. I've got that bit more burst of energy. I don't seem to have so much fatigue in my legs. They're not so tired. Same with my arms. They're not so fatiguey." Sleep. And here are some more quotes. "I feel like when I'm going to sleep now, my body actually wants to go to sleep instead of like chemically having to go to sleep. Normally, I'd have to wait for my medication to kick in. I'm not feeling as tired when waking up. I'm still tired, but it isn't that really heavy feeling. I feel like I've slept. I know I'm going to go to sleep rather than just lie there awake in pain. I haven't had a nap since I started doing this photobiomodulation therapy. It makes me sleep like a baby. Then I'm quite happy to just drift off again. That doesn't normally happen for years. My sleep's improved. For me, my sleep was honestly amazing, absolutely amazing. So before I'd go to bed and I'd be lying there until 2 o'clock in the morning, I go to bed now and I can sleep. I'm not lying there until 2 a.m. thinking, what am I going to do? I go to bed and with a half an hour, I can go to sleep. One of the main things that affected me was sleep, and that's improved a hell of a lot. It really has. It's very, very rare now I woke up before the alarm. Usually I'd lie there for 20 minutes before I'd even try, but I've been able to wake up and get straight up. I wake up and take myself out straight away instead of going, hang on, I need to stretch, etc. I can literally just jump up and do it now. Improved mood, memory, concentration, and mobility were also found. A small 14-person long COVID study using 12 treatments over a 4-week period using a helmet at the wavelength of 1,070 nanometers or a light bed which had both 660 and 850 nanometers, reported significant improvements in cognitive tests. Red light therapy devices. Witten started things off in the red light therapy sphere, but in the past 5 years or so, YouTubers like Gemba Red and Alex Fergus have produced hundreds of videos on it. With his affiliate sales, Alex Fergus has the slicker website, appears to have reviewed every panel possible, and probably raking the money in hand over fist. Fergus, though, states that he's an independent operator and is not tied to any manufacturer, and his ratings appear to bear this out. You can also get discounts through his site. The information below can get technical, but don't worry too much about it. If you buy from a reputable company, such as Plasma, Mito Red, Huga, Rouge, Infraredi, etc., you should be okay. Wavelengths. In 2018, Witten recommended devices that transmit in the range of 630 to 680 nanometers, red light, and 800 to 830 nanometers, infrared. While both red and infrared light do similar things, such as enhance mitochondrial functioning, reduce oxidative stress, and increase circulation, they affect different tissues. Red light from 630 to 680 nanometers penetrates less deeply, 1 to 2 centimeters, and is best used for skin issues and wound healing. Infrared from 800 to 850 nanometers penetrates more deeply, 2 to 5 centimeters, and is used to reduce inflammation, improve circulation, reduce muscle stiffness, improve cognition, etc. Witten suggests using a 50-50 mix of both, which is what most panels provide. If you're more focused on the brain, go for pure infrared, or if more on the skin, go for red light. Most panels will provide two wavelengths, often 650 and 850 nanometers. But recent studies suggest more wavelengths may be helpful, and higher priced panels often provide more wavelengths, such as 630, 660, 810, 830, 850, and 172 nanometers. It should be noted that two wavelength panels have been helping people for years, and they work well. The 810 nanometer wavelength. Alex Fergus calls the 810 nanometer wavelength a game changer, and indeed, this wavelength might be more helpful for people with ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, because it's able to penetrate a bit deeper into the brain and is better at mitochondrial enhancement than 850 nanometer wavelength. 1072 nanometers or more. Higher frequency wavelengths can penetrate deeper into the body and are available in some devices, but are not typically used. Some devices will tell how much light output they provide, but not all will tell you the wavelengths they deliver them at. Some devices will also reportedly emit light in the wavelengths that won't hurt but aren't helpful. If you really dig into the data, though, some companies will tell you how much light in each wavelength their panels deliver. Power density. Power density reflects how much energy is delivered to the skin. Because red LEDs generate heat to get deep penetration, large panels that emit a lot of energy need to be at least 6 to 12 inches away from the skin. If the panel or light is too far away from the skin, on the other hand, not enough light will penetrate. Witten writes that devices need to deliver at least 30 watts per centimeter squared and around 100 watts per centimeter squared from close range at 6 inches away. Really high-powered devices will still give you an effective dose at 20 to 30 watts per square centimeter from as much as 24 inches away. Most companies provide power ratings that indicate how much energy is delivered at 6 inches, 12 inches, etc. Some will provide independent lab tests. Ignore companies that do not provide this information. Both Witten and Fergus view the company power ratings with skepticism. Witten recently reported that he asked dozens of companies to send their panel to an independent lab, which found quite a few discrepancies. Virtually everyone, Witten said, is lying about their test results, in part because they feel they have to match each other. Fergus says no standard power ratings apply, and the whole power issue is very messy. He measures panel output himself with a spectrometer. The good news is that both Witten and Fergus say that if you buy a panel from a company that's been around, you should be in good shape. Solo versus multi-chips. You can also investigate whether a panel features solo or multi-chip diodes. Solo chips provide one LED per unit. Multiple chips provide multiple LEDs per unit, packaged into a unit in multiple chips. Multiple chip LEDs are more targeted, provide more light energy and deeper penetration into the tissues, and can shorten exposure times. Pulsing or not pulsing. While most red light panels emit a continuous source of light, pulsing panels break up the light stream, turning it rapidly on and off. By giving the skin brief cooling periods, pulsed red light devices use lasers instead of red LEDs to deliver higher intensities of light, thus giving the light better penetration into the tissues. Pulsed red light therapy tools allow you to put the tool right next to your skin, something you can't do with a red LED panel. The amount of light that's delivered to the tissues can increase dramatically. That's the idea anyway. So many variables around pulsing exist: pulse rate, intensity, hertz, and the studies show such variable results that at least one website, lighttherapyinsiders.com, says that most people should probably not get a pulsing panel. Other people might, though, and interestingly, some of those people might be people with diseases like fibromyalgia, ME/CFS, and long COVID. Because pulsed light therapy can penetrate deeper into the tissues, it may have a better chance of getting into the brain. And studies indicate that these diseases are, at least in part, brain diseases. It's possible, but not certain, that pulsing may be more effective at promoting mitochondrial health. That said, Bart Walbers of Light Therapy Insiders writes that even if pulsing is more effective than continuous red light therapy, it isn't that much more effective, i.e., you can get excellent results from both. Alex Fergus states protective eyewear must be used with pulsing devices. EMFs. Many panels put out low EMF, but some are higher. For a review of EMF-free panels, go here, to the link in the text version of the article. Flicker-free panels. Flicker can cause headaches, migraines, etc. in some people. Most people are not bothered by flicker. We are surrounded by flickering lights in the form of LED lights, car lights, etc. Check out Alex Fergus to learn more about flicker. Setup. The panels usually come with wall attachments, but you may want to get a stand. Some stands will allow you to lie down underneath the panel so that you don't have to stand up. Gemba Red suggests buying a heavy-duty cargo rack and lying on the shelf with the light panel above you and or below you. Timers, the ability to adjust frequencies, handheld devices, etc., are extra accessories that panels can come with. The best panel? If money is not an object, the best whole-body panel might be one that is large enough to impact most of the body, has a good power density, generally not a problem, produces multiple wavelengths, contains multi-chip LEDs, allows one to adjust frequencies, has a timer, allows one to attach other panels to it, comes with a handheld device, pulses or doesn't pulse, has a good warranty, and comes from a reputable company. A panel that provides two wavelengths and has a good power density, most do, will work just fine as well. You simply may need to stand in front of it more to get a good effect. helmets, the Vi-Light, and the brain. Both Witten and Henderson thought helmets were highly problematic and did not recommend them, but some studies do find them helpful. The problems with helmets are twofold, the hair and the skull. Our hair turns out to be a pretty darn effective red light blocker, and the bones in the skull even more so. As we'll see in an upcoming talk with Dr. Henderson, lasers provide deeper penetration into the body and the brain in particular. Henderson reports that lasers can produce lasting results, while red light from LED and infrared devices produces transient benefits. If you want to try the brain LED infrared approach, Ari Witten and Alex Fergus recommend Vi-Light Gamma, a non-helmeted device that Vi-Light says delivers near-infrared light at 810 nanometers safely through the skull to the brain. The company states that its technology maximizes contact with the scalp. Vi-Light's neuro devices don't come cheap. Their gamma devices, which are getting quite a bit of scientific study and contain both brain and intranasal LEDs, run from $1,799 to $3,299. The separate Vi-Light X Plus 4 at $449 device targets the thymus and nasal vasculature to assist the innate immune system to deal with respiratory colds. The Vi-Light Vegas $699 stimulates the vagus nerve using red light. Vi-Light devices are expensive, but with over 20, albeit mostly small, studies, they are undergoing scientific scrutiny. One large study underway is examining whether the Vi-Light Gamma device can improve cognition in older adults at risk for Alzheimer's. The results should be interesting. Handheld devices. Witten reported that most handheld devices offer about 10 megawatts per square centimeter and only treat a 5 to square inch area. I don't know if this is still true. They can help with the muscle pain and stiffness often seen in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. While there is no doubt that small panels can help with localized area of pain and stiffness, etc., they're not powerful enough to help with general health or help much with the widespread pain found in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. Witten strongly recommends getting a large panel light over a handheld device, if possible, to help with systemic problems like fatigue. Not the answer. No one is suggesting that red light therapy, or RLT, is the answer to anything, and certainly not ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, or long COVID. It's very possible, though, that it can be helpful for the right person. Using red light therapy. 20 minutes is the maximum duration Witten recommends. Gemba Red notes that lower doses, at most 3 to 5 times a week, have been used effectively to impact the brain. Witten states that most people will notice better effects with lower doses than the maximum doses. People who are in very poor health will need to start with much lower doses. Best to do it with eyes closed or with an eye mask. Buying a large panel. Witten was the first to really dig into red light therapy, and I provide his older recommendations first. Since then, Alex Fergus has become far and away the most prolific panel reviewer, and I rely on his recommendations for newer panels. Witten's updated book is coming out soon, though, and we'll see what he currently recommends. Witten's 2018 large panel recommendations. Witten said he tried a dozen other lights that ended up underpowered or didn't have the right wavelengths. Unfortunately, the only recommendations I could find dated back to 2018, and many companies have entered the market since then. Each of these companies is still producing red light panels, though, and they are presumably a good bet. The large panels are not cheap, but you may be able to get discounts via YouTubers like Alex Fergus who make their money through affiliate sales. Red Rush 360, now the Red Rush 400, is $745. Pulsed machine, Red Rush says it's the only machine that allows you to adjust pulsing. Wavelengths are 650 and 850 nanometers, provides 160 megawatts per square centimeter at 6 inches, enough to reach the deep tissue, 85 megawatts per square centimeters at 18 inches, treats up to 24 by 42 inch area, and it has a 2-year warranty. Witten really liked this panel because it was relatively inexpensive and provided a good power density for a good price. 6 years ago, it was $499. The Platinum Bio 600 Biomax. Back then, it was $749, now $1,049. This is a 3-foot-tall, extra-large light that provides red light waves over multiple wavelengths, including 1,060 nanometers, that can treat the entire front or back of your body at once. Provides 160 megawatts per square centimeter at 6 inches, 136 megawatts per square centimeter at 12 inches, and has a 3-year warranty. Alex Fergus's recommendations, best red light therapy panel. In his 2024 review of 15 large panels, Fergus assessed the number of LEDs, LED size, power output at 6 inches, the wavelengths, support, warranties, lab data, duration of the company, ease of use, accessories, etc. And you can see the link to that YouTube video in the text version of the article. The Platinum Bio 900 Biomax, $1,299, similar to one Ari Witten's choices, was his large panel of the year for 2024. Note, though, that Fergus stated all the panels in the competition provided good benefits. One company he said to stay away from is Juve, a former industry leader that now fails badly on its price points. Most of the whole body panels were over $1,000 and went up to around $1,500. Best large red light therapy panel under $1,000. Fergus's review of panels under $1,000 is kind of hilarious because he keeps coming back to more expensive panels and saying for $100 or $200 more, you can do a lot better. That said, he does provide some under $1,000 suggestions. Fergus assessed tabletop panels under $500 recently. His top four were the DermaBeam 300, Huga HG Pro 300, Mito Pro 300. For this company, use code ALEX5 or ROJO300. You can see the links to those in the text version of the article. 808 to 810 nanometer models. If you're looking for panels that provide more light emitted in the 808 to 810 nanometer region, Fergus recommended the LightPath LED or Mito Adapt panels. If you want to find a review, Fergus has probably reviewed any panel you might be interested in on his website and YouTube channel. You can fine-tune your selection, select specific wavelengths, EMF-free, pulsed, flicker-free, etc., with Alex Fergus's Red Light Therapy shopping tool. Applying the Arsenault test. The Arsenault test assesses the factors below to help you decide whether or not to try a new treatment. It comes from a presentation given by Dr. Rick Arsenault, a Canadian ME/CFS and fibromyalgia doctor. 1. The credibility of the source. With photobiomodulation being studied in many disorders, the credibility of the source is good. 2. The quality of the evidence. Mixed. While photobiomodulation is being studied in many disorders, few studies have been done in ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and or long COVID. Thus far, they have been positive though. 3. The benefit-cost analysis. The benefit is probably moderate, but the thematic analysis study turned up some fibromyalgia patients who benefited greatly. The panels are not cheap, but while whole body panels run from $750 to several thousand, a good desktop panel can be had for $250, and there are wraps and other modalities that can help with muscle pain and stiffness. One interesting possibility is using a light with good power density on the gut to improve the gut flora. 4. The risk-benefit analysis. Witten stated that 1 to 5% of people, whom he believes to be in poor health, react badly to the panels, probably because their antioxidant systems are so damaged. To start it low and take it slow approach then clearly applies to these panels. Otherwise, the risk appears to be very low and few side effects have been reported. Conclusion. Don't expect miracles, and, as always, results will vary. But if you have the money, the possibility of pain reduction, improved energy, cognition, and sleep, and the few side effects associated with them makes red light infrared panels an interesting option. Health Rising's Big Little Donation Drive Update. Thanks to the over 240 people who have supported Health Rising thus far. When we do overviews, we really do overviews. We try to understand what a treatment can provide, check out the specific studies, and explore the different reviews. In a subject like red light therapy, that can be rather exhausting. But our commitment is to dig deep, and that's what this blog attempted to do. If you got value from this exploration of red light therapy, please support us. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation at the link in the text version of the article just before the comments section.